you'd open your Bibles, I want to 2 Kings chapter 21. I'm not going to read there immediately, but we will be reading from there. I want to look this morning at a king of Judah. His name was Manasseh, as the title of the sermon would declare. The story of Manasseh is a tragic story with a happy ever after ending for the people of God. And there are many heroes in the faith of the Bible. Of course, Noah and Moses and David and Paul and the other apostles. All people who were committed to the Lord, their God. King Manasseh was not one of them. Yet Manasseh, king of Judah, is a very important figure in the history of redemption, that which pertains to God's work in the world in order to call his elect unto himself. As we learned in our reading this morning, God had made a promise to David that he would never fail to have a king on the throne of God in Jerusalem. God said that in Jerusalem, out of all the cities in the world, he would put his name forever. Jerusalem was the city he had chosen to put his name forever, and Jerusalem was considered to be the throne of God. And it is written in Chronicles, Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord in Jerusalem. The prophet Joel declares, the Lord roars from Zion and thunders from Jerusalem. Jacob blessed Judah, saying in Genesis 49:10, the scepter, or rule of God's kingdom, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him will the gathering of the people be. So with that information, then, let us look at 2 Kings 21. We're beginning reading at verse 1, reading from the King James. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, to Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire, and observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought such wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house, of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearkened not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke by his servants the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done all of these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all the Amorites did which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols, therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, and whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the lion of Samaria, and the plummet of the house of Ahab. I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance, and deliver them into the land of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, and all that he did, and his sin that he sinned, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Manasseh slept with his father, and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah, and Amon his son reigned in his stead. Let us pray. Father, may we learn great blessings from this tragic story of this most wicked king. And may you apply your word to our hearts this morning. Give us soft hearts, O Lord. Make us not only hearers of your word, but doers as well. In Jesus' name, amen. The promise God made to David is alluded to in verse 7. And he set a graven image of the grove he had made in the house, of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever." God was faithful to his promise to David. The northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of Israel, were taken into captivity in 722 BC by the king of Assyria. They intermarried and became Samaritans. The northern kingdom, however, lasted 278 years. David's throne in Judah, however, lasted 413 years, as one son of David after another ruled in Judah and in Jerusalem. Manasseh followed Hezekiah, who was a relatively good king, but Manasseh's sin would bring about the end of the promise God made to David. How bad were the sins of Manasseh? Josephus writes, "In his antiquities, Manasseh showed himself in his manners most wicked in all respects. Setting out from a contempt of God, he barbarously slew all the righteous men that were among the Hebrews, nor would he spare the prophets, for he every day slew some of them till Jerusalem was overflown with blood." Perhaps Manasseh's worst sin was that he took the carved Asherah pole he had made and put it in the temple. Of all the sins Manasseh committed, this was perhaps the worst. Manasseh was followed on the throne by his son Anam, but Anam only ruled 2 years, and then he was assassinated by the city officials, actually. And then he was succeeded, of course, by Josiah. And we know that Josiah is a good king. As a matter of fact, it is written of Josiah that neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. It's interesting, isn't it, that we can go from bad to good and back to bad in the line of David and in Israel. Judah's most wicked king was followed by Judah's most righteous king. Yet it wasn't enough. God did not relent. It is written, "Nevertheless, the Lord did not turn away from the heat of his fierce anger, which he burned against Judah because of all that Manasseh had done to provoke him to anger. So the Lord said, 'I will remove Judah also from my presence as I removed Israel, and I will reject Jerusalem, the city I chose, and this temple about which I said, there shall my name be.'" Other kings followed Josiah until we get to Jehoiakim, where in 2 Kings 24 we are told Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against them bands of the Chaldeans, and bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants, the prophets. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight, for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. So in response to God's command, the Babylonians came down and destroyed Jerusalem in 587 BC. Yet it is following these great sins of Manasseh and his reign of terror and of death and apostasy which characterized Jerusalem that the seeds of hope are born. We want to talk about those seeds of hope this morning. When Nebuchadnezzar came down and conquered Jerusalem, the times of the Gentiles began. You probably have read that term in your Bible, the times of the Gentiles. The times of those four kingdoms of the book of Daniel: Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome. It's interesting, it was in this week in 331 BC that Alexander defeated the Persians. A little trivia there for you. But the times of the Gentiles and the Word of God is that time in biblical history when there was no son of David ruling on the throne in Jerusalem. Let me repeat that for you. The times of the Gentiles is that time in biblical history when there was no son of David ruling from the throne of God in Jerusalem. And Jesus said in Luke 21, Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. In AD 70, the city was destroyed by the fourth kingdom, Rome, and the times of the Gentiles came to an end. Because once again, the Son of David would rule on the throne in Jerusalem. In the days of those kings, the time of these four kingdoms, Daniel writes, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. When the earthly city of Jerusalem was destroyed, according to Jacob's prophecy, the scepter rule of the kingdom of God passed from Judah to the risen and resurrected Christ, the Son of David and the Son of God. And the kingdom of David was reestablished with Christ on the throne in the heavenly Jerusalem. Once again, a son of David ruled and will rule forever and ever on God's throne in Jerusalem. Psalm 2 was fulfilled. I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. The sins of Manasseh led to the destruction of the city, but they also revealed that God's plan was not for the earthly Jerusalem. It was not simply human kings that would rule forever in Jerusalem, but one who is both the Son of God and the Son of David. As Jesus had confounded the Pharisees, how then does it say in the Spirit, call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool for your feet. David then calls him Lord. How is he his son? That was the great question that the Pharisees in Israel could not answer. And they rejected Christ. As Peter told the Israelites gathered at Pentecost, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. But the sins of Manasseh paved the way for salvation in Christ as the Son of God who would sit forever on the throne of David. Certainly the people who had endured so much long terror under Manasseh could not have imagined that God could use that for good. Certainly those who witnessed Christ on the cross could not have possibly imagined that God could use such a thing for good and the greater good that would follow. Christ sits today as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. It is the glorious cry of the book of Revelation. We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. God's destruction of the city of Jerusalem because of the sins of Manasseh led to this glorious establishment of the heavenly and eternal kingdom of God. But it is not only Christ's heavenly kingdom, but your future home, as it is also promised in Daniel. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions will serve and obey him. You are as much a part of God's forever kingdom as our Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious future awaits you, the people of God, the saints, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, in eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. But when you get there may be someone there you would not expect to see, because there's more to Manasseh's story. For it is not only a story of extreme wickedness, it is a beautiful story of extreme grace. It is also a story that can bring great comfort to the Christian. It continues in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, beginning at verse 11. Wherefore, he, God, brought upon the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew the Lord. He was God. God took this most wicked king of the Old Testament, who had ruled Jerusalem for so long with such idolatry and brutality, and humbled him until he cried out for deliverance. The historian Josephus writes again in his Antiquities, Manasseh escaped the danger he was in. And when he was come to Jerusalem, he endeavored, if it were possible, to cast out of his memory those former sins against God, of which he now repented, and to apply himself to a very religious life. And indeed, when he had changed his former course, he so led his life for the time to come, that from the time of his return to piety towards God, he was deemed a happy man and a pattern for imitation. He was intent on doing nothing but to return his thanks to God for his deliverance. Indeed, is not Manasseh a pattern for our imitation? God does not save the proud. He does not save those who boast of their self-righteousness. It is only when a hopeless and helpless sinner looks for deliverance from God in Christ that he can be saved. God humbled Manasseh, and then Manasseh evidenced the true repentance of saving faith. And this is a pattern of true saving faith. God brings a sinner to see his sin and lawlessness before God. Then the sinner humbles himself. He recognizes his sin and the danger it presents. The sinner prays for deliverance and forgiveness and cries out to the true and living God. If you have not yet come to that place in your life where you have cast yourself completely upon the saving work and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, then I would urge you to remember Manasseh. God does not wink at sin. The soul that sins, it shall die. God, we are told, is angry with sinners every day. Manasseh humbled himself greatly. The word is often translated exceedingly. Such humility is spawned by the knowledge that sin is a great offense to a holy God, and humbling prayer for deliverance in Christ Jesus, crying out to God for salvation. And on this side of the cross, a recognition of Jesus Christ as Savior is the only source of the sinner's deliverance. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Old Testament sinners were saved with the information that they had. Then we are told Manasseh repented all of his wickedness he had done. He was intent on nothing to return his thanks to God for his deliverance. I don't think there's a clearer picture of repentance in all of the Bible as to the relationship between the sinner's salvation and his attitude toward God. He was intent on nothing but to return his thanks to God for his deliverance. A deliverance which was manifested in good works of the sinner, which God had ordained for him to do. He was intent on nothing but to return thanks to God for his deliverance. And so it should be with us. Those who have received the grace of our Lord and Savior ought to show forth their salvation in joy and repentance, rejoicing always in our Lord Jesus Christ and in one another. Manasseh, Josephus writes, was a pattern for imitation. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Be ye imitators of me." Is your faith worthy of imitation by those who would seek true salvation in Christ? Does your faith evidence a sincere desire to return thanks to God for his deliverance? A loving desire to do God's will, seeking constantly to remove those things displeasing to God from your daily life. Or perhaps you came here today lacking assurance. Perhaps you were tormented by your weakness against sin, what our forefathers called besetting sins, and therefore you have a lack of assurance. And you wonder, I wonder if God could really save a person like me. Remember Manasseh. If God can and will save Manasseh, the most wicked king in the history of Israel, he can and will save you. If God can and will save the chief of sinners, the Apostle Paul, he can and will save you. There is not now, and never will be, condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Or perhaps you struggle with sanctification and wonder if you will ever be holy enough to please God, taking two steps forward and one back. Remember Manasseh. It is written that Manasseh's repentance and sanctification were not perfect. Sacrifice in the high places was forbidden in the Word of God. Even though Manasseh had done all these wonderful things, it is written that the people, however, continued to sacrifice at the high places, but only to their God. Sanctification is always a work in progress. True saving holiness is Christ's work. Trust in His perfect obedience and saving grace, as He told the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." Or maybe you listened to the news last night, real news or fake news, and it seems God's hand is far away. That the America that you have known has been forsaken by God and is being flooded with evil. That the world is being overrun by false religion and rampant immorality and evil men and women seeking power. Or perhaps you fear for the future. Remember Manasseh's story and know that your righteous king, a son of David, Jesus Christ, rules over the kingdom of God in the heavenly Jerusalem. Not just as a king, but the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is promised of that kingdom in the book of Daniel that its king will rule forever and ever. It is a kingdom of the saints, the people of God, and it is promised that the kingdom will never be given to another people. Remember, Manasseh, everything necessary for your salvation has been accomplished. Eternal life awaits. Oh, my fellow Christians, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Your salvation is secure. Myriads and myriads of angels in joyful assembly await your arrival. There is a Son of David on the throne of the Lord. Your God reigns. To the King, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and honor, power and dominion, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Father, knowing what great work you have done for us, most of us, even now, considering ourselves the chief of sinners, Father, may we be so committed to our Lord Jesus Christ and to eternal life that we might manifest a faith that can be an invitation to many who seek salvation. Thank you, Lord, for such an abundant grace. Thank you for so many wonderful examples in your word of how you have overcome evil by thy grace. In Jesus' name, amen.